Blog Talk Radio.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on. Come on, you declare it.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break, break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, say to
break every, break every chain. Break every chain.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army.
Anointed that woman to sing that song, Tasha Cobbs. He put a special anointing on her to sing that song. I hear the chains falling. There's an army rising up. Hallelujah. We thank God for each and every one of you all today that have taken out of your busy schedules to come and fellowship with us on a time of reflection with New Destiny Ministries. I tell you, I'm so excited. You know, it feels good. You know, it's just something about family. You know, God ordained and he created Adam and Eve to what? To multiply, to be family. And when you see family coming together, it just, oh, Lord, have mercy. It does something to you. Amen. So I'm excited today. I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about how he's blessing us on this radio broadcast to come on and minister to souls all over the nation. As I begin to continue to look at these stats, I'm just in awe of what God is doing. And, you know, it amazes me to see all of the different technology and tools and the wisdom and the knowledge and the gifts that he has given to women and men of God, boys and girls, all over the nation. So I'm excited about what he's doing. I see Minister Maurice on the line with us, Minister Maurice Moncur, and that's one of our cousins. You know, he's been fellowshipping with us. He's ministered for us, and he is an awesome minister of music. And I tell you, I just appreciate the gifts that God has deposited in him. And, you know, he'll get an opportunity to hear one of his cousins he's never met. He's heard about him, but never met. And that's none other than one of our favorites on this broadcast. You know, we have some favorites. And that is none other than Dr. Winston Singleton. And he's going to be ministering the word of God for us on today. And we thank God we see Sister Melanie back with us. We see one of our long good friends who is also a member of the same body church, and that's none other than Evangelist Earlene Cummins. And we're just so thankful that the Lord has strengthened her and raised her up. Amen. So we're excited about that. We also see Sister Donna is also, she got a chance to meet Dr. Singleton when I was in L.A., so she's out of the Los Angeles area, too. So I tell you, God is just doing some great and mighty things. So we're going to ask, I'm going to open up the line right now, and I'm going to ask Minister Maurice. And Minister Maurice, this is your cousin, Dr. Winston Singleton, that's going to be ministering for us today. It's something how, you know, God has family everywhere, and sometimes you just don't connect. And Dr. Singleton, and we call him Winnie, so it's all right. He don't mind you calling him Winnie. And Winnie and I was talking this morning, he would say, what? He said, you know, we were talking about Desi, and I was telling him that Minister Maurice is my late cousin, Desi's brother. Amen. So I tell you, God is just doing some great things. So we want to introduce Maurice right now, and I'm going to have him to open up with the word of prayer for us today, and then we're going to get right on into this word, because I just believe that God is saying, he's speaking, and we just are excited about what he's doing. So we're going to ask Minister Maurice. God bless you, Minister Maurice.
Amen. God bless you, Evangelist. It's just good. I couldn't hardly wait till today come. We were with you on yesterday, and then you said our cousin was going to come in and break the bread of life. I said, oh, my God, I'd get a chance to hear my cousin that I never met, which is a single commitment honor as well as a pleasure. And you know, it's something good, and I was sharing this with Reverend Porter. I said, oh, I can't wait for tomorrow to hear my cousin. I said, you know, because Tyler Perry has family. And I know people get excited because he's world-known, he's Tyler Perry. But I thank God that I have a cousin that's preaching the word of God and that's saving souls and that's been an example of Jesus Christ. And it's just an honor that this day has been ordained, that I can come and hear my cousin break the bread of life, that men's lives may be changed or sinners may come running. What must I do to be saved? And it's just great. And, yes, I'm Desi's baby brother, and it's an honor to share with you. And for all of the listeners, I know God is getting ready to make a move on this radio station. He's getting ready to make a move in your life. to this man of God that's getting ready to break this bread of life. And we just want to petition the throne of grace and just ask God to just come in and to set us free of all the bondage. That, like Pastor said, listen, break the chains. He's ready to break the chains. All you have to do is just be willing. Let us go to God in prayer. Now, Father God, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for this chance. And God, just for another day that you have blessed and you have kept us. We thank you, Father God, for just coming into the atmosphere of knowing who you are and to declare upon your word, God. Because you said, Father God, that we just come to you, Father God, that you will have your arms open wide and say, come unto me, all ye that labor in heaven and labor. And we thank you for this opportunity, Father God, because we know, Father God, that when you are called and when your word goes forth, something is bound to happen in our lives. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all of those that are listening, Father God, and for everyone that is broken. Father God, we ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus that those chains be broken. As you use this thing of God, the call to your purpose, the preaching of the gospel. Father God, anoint him, heal him, Father God. Give him what to say, Father God, because there is somebody out there that needs a healing, Father God. And you said that we just ask, Father God, it shall be done. Father God, we ask that you anoint him right now as you go all over the nation, declaring your word, Father God, because you said if we abide in you and your word abide in us, we can ask whatever we will in your name, Father God. And we come, Father God, and make this a blessed day. Make this a life-changing day, Father God, as this word go forth. Now, God, as we set our hearts and we set our minds, we're decreeing right now that we have the right spirit to receive this word of God from this great man of God. Father God, use him, Father God. Lend your hands on him, Father God. Touch, Father God, like never before, that all of those that hear this word and hear this Roman word of God may be delivered, may be set free, and may be healed. And it's all in Jesus' name that we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Minister Maurice. We appreciate that wonderful opening prayer. Once again, I'd like to just give those of you that may not know anything about this young man, most of you on the line have heard him before here in the Northern California area. He comes out quite frequently and quite regularly, really, and a minister for us, and then he also ministered for other ministries. This young man, I'm just so, you know, I call, he's one of my mentors, and I've been preaching and teaching the word now about 12 years, but I tell you, more extensively these past 5 years, and I don't go on the road and preach, try to teach anything without first consulting with Dr. Singleton. And I say that because he's a humble young man. He's married. He's been married for almost, I think, 20 years now. And he has been groomed under the leadership of his father, who is the pastor and bishop of the Greater Bethlehem Temple Church there in Inglewood, California. And he's just an awesome, humble young man that loved the Lord. I call him the alphabet man because he has so many degrees. You know, I get confused with all these degrees. But even in that, he's down earth, he's humble, and he loves people. He's a lover of people. So we just thank God for him taking out of his busy schedule today and come and fellowship with us and also expound on this word. Our destiny focus for this week is lay aside every week. And I want him to know I'm here with Mama Ruby, and she loved Dr. Singleton. So we just thank God for what he's doing. And I want Dr. Singleton to know Sister Ruby has been assisting us with this week, where she just, I mean, in no time flat, have caught on very quickly. So we thank God for her opening up her home and allowing us to come and do this work that the Lord has assigned us to do. Amen. So with no further ado, we're going to bring on our speaker for the hour. And Minister Maurice, I tell you, he loves music also. So when it just, he's Dr. Singleton, he can do it all. So God bless you, Dr. Singleton. We love you and appreciate you.
Very much. Hello to everyone out there, radio, all across the world, and the internet and all. We give God thanks, and we want to give greetings to the household of faith in the precious name of Jesus. First of all, giving honor to God who's the head of our life and his son, Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord for all the families that has come together for such a time as this. I want to thank the Lord for my cousin down in Louisiana. I heard so much about you. I would love to meet you in person. I'm a musician myself. I need to get my lip back into shape so maybe we can play some duets together in the future. But that's at another time. I just thank the Lord for my cousin, Angela Adrian Bernard, who has been so instrumental and played a very important part of my ministry in helping me and giving me the exposure that I needed to interact with other people, because a lot of times being a man or woman of God, you know you're just only one person. We have not received our glorified body yet. So there we can't travel, you know, instantaneously anywhere. We only can be at a certain place at a certain time. But thank the Lord for technology. And also thank the Lord for the networking. Some of us need to incorporate in us a spirit of networking. In other words, having a mindset to want to meet other people. Because the Bible said for us to, he said, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I don't believe that effective ministry should be performed by an introvert. Now, if you are an introvert, then you have to ask God to give you the spirit of being an extrovert. Because the Bible said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to every man liberally and abradeth not. He said, but let this man ask in faith, not wavering. And then he went on to say later on, now don't even that a man of that sort would receive anything from. But then he said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So in order for like Christ, we have to exemplify even the networking capabilities. And so therefore, if you can be a person that's about people, because people don't want to know what you know, that they know that you care. And I think that's one of the basic tools of ministry, being able to be lovers of good men, being lovers of people in general, to love the whole, because for God so loved the world, for he so loved creation, he so loved the universe, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever in the world believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But I love verse number 17, paraphrasing it. He said, not send his Son into the world to condemn that by his Son that the world might be saved. And we understand in some of the scholarly studies, we understand that only 70% of the world is not Christian. That's right. 70%, approximately, 70% of the whole world population is not Christian. But why? Because Christian family is not the only families on the block. We have people that's a part of Islam. We have people part of Buddhism, Taoism, Hinduism, and all the other religions, all the other belief disciplines that are around in the world. But I thank God that we are in the truth, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. So therefore, we are in a beautiful place, state of mind, being a part of Christ. And the Bible said, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, you do it all in the name of Jesus. And therefore, Jesus is the center of our belief system. He's the center of our joy. He's the center of our being. Everything was made by him and for him, and without him, nothing was made. So we have to understand that without Christ, we are nothing. But, you know, I'm very, very excited about this particular topic on today. I think it's wonderful. It might be short in its title, but I love small things, because a lot of times a lot of the big things comes from small packages. I'm talking about, at one time I wanted to be 6'5", but I'm happy to be 5'7½". So we can't, you can't judge a book by its cover, you can't judge a box by its size, and you can't judge me by the way I look. You have to hear what's in a person in order for them to be able to dictate, because the Bible says, ye shall know them by their fruits. And if you know me, my friend, then the Bible says, know them that labor among you. So in order for us to really get the totality of knowing somebody, we really have to spend the time with them, maybe not directly, but indirectly. Because the Bible make mention, before we go on, the Bible make mention that evil communication corrupts good manners. But, you know, there are two forms of communication. there is first not verbal, then nonverbal. And most times we're affected by the nonverbal entities that are around us and with us. So therefore, a lot of times you don't have to speak, but sometimes you can do certain eye movements, you can do certain body gestures, and you can get the point. You know, when someone put a fist in your face, that means get away. And the Bible said, agree with your adversary quickly. So you see what I'm saying. I don't have to tell you to get away from me. I just put my fist up. You know, and then a lot of times we don't even know if you really are a worshiper of God, but you begin to raise your hands up and begin to look up into heaven. And you begin to give God praise. Someone say something about that person. You know, and I want to be, as my uncle said, so described, I want to be somebody, I want to be just a nobody who can tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. So I want to be able to be the one that be able to go forth in the name of Jesus. But we see here we have a wonderful topic, meaning lay aside every weight. And it comes from the fabulous book of Hebrews. And we understand that Hebrews is a very powerful book because it's so, I would call it, dualistic in its expression. It talks about two factors here. But first of all, we understand that we're giving, most scholars are debating about who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some say Apollos wrote it. Some say one of the other students of Paul. But we actually believe that Paul wrote this book. And we know that Paul was given instructions by Jesus Christ. If you remind yourself of the book of Acts, chapter number 9, where Paul was on his way to Damascus to persecute the saints or those of the way. And on his way, he met Jesus by the way of a very peculiar way. The Bible said that there was a light that shined from heaven brighter than the noonday sun and knocked him to the ground. And then he heard a voice that said, Saul, 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 which is his Hebrew Jewish name. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecuted. He said, it's hard to kick against the prick. He said, Lord, what would you have for me to do? He said, I want you to get up and I want you to continue on the route in which you're going. He said, but I will lead you to someone, or someone will be there to tell you what you must do. That particular individual was Ananias. And Ananias, Jesus began to talk to him and told him to go get a Saul from Tarsus. He said he was out there around there praying. He said, well, Lord, this man is a bad man. This man did this and he did that. But Jesus said that Saul now is a vessel or an instrument unto me. He said, he will bear my name among the kings, the Gentiles, and the chiefs of Israel, and I will show him much things that he must suffer for my name's sake. So we understand in the book of Acts, chapter number 9, that Paul had his calling starting at that point. And then the Bible said he went in the synagogues preaching straightway, preaching Christ, the Son of God. And we find out then that Paul went on, continued on in a minute, and we find out, I think he was saved around maybe, okay, the church was opened. The church was opened around A.D. 33. Yes, the apostolic church, the church, the first century church was opened around A.D. 33. But we find out that Paul or Saul got saved around about maybe the late 30s or the early 40s. But we find out then later on that around about between A.D. 48 and 49, he went on one of his three missionary journeys. The first missionary journey he went on, he wrote no epistles at all. Then we find out that later on, we find out that a year after that, from A.D. 50 to A.D. 51 or 52, he only wrote two epistles, which was 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And then we found out that in his third missionary journey, which was between A.D. 53 to A.D. 68, because that's the year he died in 68 approximately, he wrote the remaining of his 13 epistles. He said, well, why are you saying that? We're saying that there's a timeline here, that this man was called of God, and this man had about maybe 25, almost close to 30 years of ministry were there. But Hebrews being one of the books that he written. And the theme for Hebrews is what you would call the superiority of Christ, the superiority of Christ. In other words, the author of Hebrews begins to expound the preeminence of Christ or the state or the rank of Christ, the person of Christ, and show that because he was significant, a sovereign figure of the universe, and he was the ultimate revelation of God, this Jesus Christ who he was talking about was inherently greater than the angels. He was inherently greater than Moses, and he was greater than, he had the same type of of lineage as Melchizedek, not having a beginning nor ending, and his priesthood was similar to that. And so every figure in Judaism, Jesus Christ exemplified a greater significance. So we understand that during the time of Hebrews being written was during the time that Jewish Christians were scattered abroad in the Roman Empire, and they were being persecuted for expounding and going forth in the name of Jesus, spreading the gospel. But we found out that they were persecuted because they were preaching Christ. But formerly, they were associated and they were embedded and also influenced by the Judaistic way of life, in other words, Judaism. So they obeyed the law of Moses and obeyed all the prophets and all the ordinances and such. But Paul was trying to convey to the ones that were scattered, the 12 tribes that were scattered, that received Christ, and let them know, because you know what? Don't leave Christ. Don't leave the Christian faith. Don't leave the landmark of Jesus Christ. He said, and then you that are being persecuted are contemplating or fickled in your mind whether you should go back to Judaism. He said, but don't go back to Judaism, because Christ is superiority. He's above those which you look at so greatly. He's above. Amen. The Bible said, even the Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter number 1, he said, in sundry times and in divers matters, God spoke unto our fathers by the prophets, but having in these last days spoke to us by his Son, who he appointed heir of all things. You see right there, Christ is greater than the angels. Then he began to go, and Christ is greater than the prophets, and Christ is greater than all the other significant figures of Judaism. But then we go down a further here, and we look at chapter number 11 of the book of Hebrews, where he begins to define what faith is. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he says, oh, we understand that by faith that the world, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. And on in verse number 3, that through faith or by faith that the elders obtained a report. And we understand in chapter 7, he began to go down in a sequence of events and characters in the Bible. He began to talk about Abel, and he began to talk about Abel, and then he went on to talk about Enoch, and then he began to talk about Noah and Abraham and Sarah. Then he went down and talked about Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses' parents and Moses himself, and began to talk about the great significance of Joshua and Rahab. And then he talked about many other of the divine people that God called in the faith. And we understand that we see in 40 verses of great, great, great men and women of God that God had used in ancient times to bring forth that the faith is important. Because the Bible said, then he went on in verse number 6 and said that without faith it's impossible to please him. He said that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So therefore he began to go into the ramifications of all the various prophets and those that were called of God who was in the faith. But go now into chapter number 12, where is a continuation of the saga of the men and women of God who were very, very instrumental in faith. But then we have to understand that we can't deviate from the point here that the faith was leading to Jesus Christ. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the Bible says in chapter number 3 of Hebrews, chapter number, verse 1, that he is the high priest and the apostle of our profession. He is the prophet. The fivefold ministry, in fact, it's every one of those offices is a piece of Jesus. Jesus is an apostle, because the Bible said he's a high priest and apostle, a professor. Jesus was the prophet. Yes, he was the prophet that was prophesied in Old Testament times. Yes, Jesus Christ was an evangelist. He traveled away and preached the gospel. He said, amen, the kingdom of God is at hand. Hear ye the gospel. Jesus Christ was, he is, amen, a leader and a pastor or a shepherd, because he said, I am the true shepherd. Amen. And he told Peter at one time, he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes, I love you. He said, please feed my sheep. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, I love you. He said, feed my lamb. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. So we know he's a shepherd. And then they called him rabbi. They called him master. He was the master teacher because he was the Logos. He was the word. Amen. So we understand that Jesus Christ exemplifies every facet of our being. He exemplifies everything. The Bible said he's the express image of the invisible God. Amen. So when he said, when you see me, you see the Father. When you see me, you see love. When you see me, you see compassion. The Spirit rests upon Jesus Christ. And so here, the man of God who wrote the book of Hebrews begins to enlighten us a little further. And the theme of chapter number 12 is example of Christ's endurance. Number 12 talks about the example of Christ's endurance. But we're going to just go ahead and start off with verse number 1. It says, wherefore seeing, meaning continuing from chapter number 11, he says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He went on to say, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But let me go on in verse number 2, and he says, looking unto Jesus. I told you he was talking about Christ, Jesus Christ being the superiority. Don't look unto Abraham for power. Don't look unto Melchizedek for deliverance. Don't look unto Abraham and Moses and Joshua and all them. I want you to look unto Jesus. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. But look what he said here in verse number 3. I'm going to just read verse number 3 and then verse number 4. It says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Then he went on to verse number 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto the blood, striving against sin. But I want to concentrate a little bit on verse number 2, because I saw something here. I was looking in the CEV, which is the contemporary translation of the King James, the paraphrasing of King James. And I like the way what it said here, and I just want to share this with you before we go on. It made mention concerning of this verse number 2 of chapter number 12. In fact, I'll just go ahead and read verses 1 and 2. It says here, such a large crowd of witnesses is all around us. So we must get rid of everything that slows us down. See what he said? He said, so we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially the sin that just won't let go. And we must determine to run the race that is set or is ahead of us. I like that when he said that, because it said that we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially the sin that just won't let go. Now, if I had a message for tonight, I'll say, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, let me go. I'm only talking about let me go. I'm talking about I need to be loose. And what gave me confirmation on this today is because I heard the song talking about breaking and destroying the chains. See, when we're talking about destroying the chains, we're talking about chains being a number of things that follow each other in some order. A number of things that follow things in such an order. It also makes mention that it's a flexible series of connected links. A flexible series of connected links. In other words, when you're dealing with something that is flexible, as you move, it moves. As you rotate, it rotates. As you slow down, it slows down. And as you speed up, it speeds up. You never can't seem to get rid of it. Chains. Mm-hmm. But I want to go into the chains as being what the word sin means here in the book of Hebrews chapter number 2. This particular one, it talks about every sin that so easily besets us and we won't let. We're talking about this particular type of sin, meaning missing the mark, These are sins that are hindering to us. These are sins that are not so easy to get rid of, because some of these sins have been inherited by nature. I heard David said, going back to the Old Testament, David told the Lord when he was saying, Lord, according to thy loving kindness and the multitude of thy tender mercy, Lord, blot out my transgressions. He began to make known that, Lord, I was conceived and shapen in iniquity from my mother's womb. I did not gain the sin by the way of activity, but I was born. My mother and father got together in the process of conception came. Sin was in the mixture. I was floating inside the liquid in my mother's womb in sin. And I was shaping in iniquity. I was formed. My head and my feet and my arms, they came out nicely. And it just showed my gender mark, if you would allow me to say that. It still did get rid of the sin that was in my nature because of Adam and Eve in the beginning in the garden. When they sinned, then sin came forth in our nature. And we understand that everyone that is born of a woman, born of a man, of a woman, born of creation in this earth, sin, amen, is inevitable or inevitably a part of you. You cannot wash this off. You cannot take a bath. You cannot soak in acid. If you do, please, by all means, I hope you had a wheel ready because you're dead. You cannot use detergent to get rid of this sin, that kind of sin that they're talking about in Hebrews. This sin is something you was born with that is an innate thing that occurred in you. But what we have to understand, the Bible went on to say, Paul went on to say, that we are the children by nature. In other words, I like to use the end time term, we were naughty by nature. In other words, I don't have to learn to curse. I don't have to learn to pick up a cigarette butt. I don't have to learn to defile myself. It's already in the mix. But I thank the Lord that Jesus Christ, the Bible said we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. That, amen, he gave us the power to overcome our flesh. But we the lay aside every weight. Now the world slows us down. But the problem is not so much the slow, it's the element that stays on us and keep us down. Amen. You cannot run. You can run with weight. But if you got something on you that's keeping you from running, the weight is just a little portion of what actually is what's going on here. The sin, what it does, it goes into you. It goes from external to internal. It goes into the crevice of your mind. Look what the Bible says. When we go back to the beginning of time, man was under what you call innocence. For all you out there that are into timelines and you're into I consider myself what you would call a dispensationalist. A dispensationalist means a period of time that God dealt with man in a particular way. So we know that in the Bible, God dealt with mankind or humanity in particular types of ways. We find out that there are approximately seven, you know, but they sometimes they add more. You know, number one would be innocence. Number two, a man would be you would call it human government. Number two would be human government. Number three would be family. Number four would be law. Number five would be grace. And then we go on from grace to the tribulation and other things like that. But I want to deal with this one right here, which is called innocence. Innocence meaning not having the knowledge of good and evil. And we found out in the garden that that Adam and Eve the knowledge of good and evil. In fact, Adam didn't even know that he was alone because God, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. And so that's why the woman came out. You know, he put Adam to sleep and took out a rib and formed a woman. But we understand it. But when they walked around innocent from type of situation or whatever because God was in control. But we found out that, amen, the Bible talked about in chapter number 3, that the Bible said that the serpent was the most subtle of all the creatures on the earth. And we find out that the Bible said that the serpent spoke to Mother Eve and said, did not God say you can't eat of every tree? She said, no. He said, we can eat of every tree in the garden, but the one that's in the midst of the garden, we can't eat it nor touch it lest we die. But Satan, that who used the serpent, told her that, he said, you shall not surely die. She said, but the day that God knows that the day that you eat, that your eyes will become open and you will become as gods, knowing good and evil. And the Bible said that since the woman realized, she said when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and to behold of the beauty of it and to become wise of, she ate of the fruit tree and then gave her to her husband, and he did eat. And their eyes were open, and they found out that they were naked. And we understand that when you're open to knowledge, your vocabulary will increase. You know, let me just digest for a moment. You know what they say about stereotype, typical type of joke for African Americans or any other minority. They say, you know, if you really want to get to this particular group of people, get them a book, tell them to read a book. You see, knowledge is power, and without knowledge, you will be destroyed. He said, we perish because of the lack of knowledge. And we find out that when their knowledge was open, God began to talk. The Bible said that the voice of God walked in the coolness of the day or vibrated throughout the garden. In the evening time, he said he began to call on Adam. He said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, here I am. He said, I hid myself. I heard your voice, but I hid myself because I was afraid and I was naked. Wait a minute. I thought that was innocence. I thought you had no inkling of understanding of what fear was, and you didn't know what nakedness was because you and mama was hanging around the garden naked for so long. You just realized that you needed to sew fig leaves? But he went on and told God, he said, I was naked. So God said, who told you you were naked? Why is your vocabulary increased so much? Why are you talking back to me with such understanding? He said, did you eat of that which I told you? He said, well, the woman you gave me caused me to sin, and I did. And then the woman said, well, the serpent caused me to do it, and then the serpent didn't have anything. But what I'm getting you to see that at that time, before they sinned, their mind was open, their mind was free, their mind was not cluttered, any type of contaminant. Their mind was not chained up. Their mind was not overwhelmed with various negativity. But we understand that after the sin and their eyes were open, now the mind became wicked. And the Bible went on to say that. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 17, verse 9, that the heart, or the mind in the Bible, the brain, the heart is deceitful, and above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? So God said, look, you know what, because you're wicked, I have to do something later on. And then he brought Jesus into the way to give us a greater understanding. That's why the Bible said, Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or worship. He said, but amen, be not conformed to this world. And you know, Philip's translation says, in other words, don't let the world squeeze you into their kind of mold. Don't let the world chain you up. Don't let the world bind you. Don't let the world handcuff you with their fashions and fads and things like that. He said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you'll be able to prove that which is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Then Paul picked it up in the book of, amen, Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 23. He said, and be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind. And if you look up what the spirit of your mind constitutes, it constitutes your attitude, your thoughts. Therefore, I have to, amen, I have to get rid of the thoughts that are in my nature. But you know what Paul said, went on to say? He said in chapter 7 of the book of Romans, he said that I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He said, I desire the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity. And to, here you go, the law of sin, the shortcomings, amen, amen, the way of missing the mark. He said, that's in my members. But he went on in verse number 23, amen, of chapter number 7. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, oh, I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ that with my mind I myself serve the law of God, and with my flesh the law of sin. What I'm trying to say here today is that if we're going to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily us or just won't go away, we have to first of all recognize what's keeping me back. That's what I'm talking about. There's so many things that's keeping us back. The only thing we do, especially in holiness, we say the only thing that's keeping me back is men and women. Who's here in your narrow mindset? That's the problem. That's why he's attacking me with other things. Yes, you don't have a problem with men and women, but you might have a problem with shopping. You might have a problem with gossiping. You might have a problem with jesting and joking all the time. You might have a problem with doubt. You might have a problem with fear. You might have a problem with other elements. things that's causing you to alienate yourself and procrastinate from what God wants you to do. But I want to let you know, before you're able to lose something, you better think about what I need to add. And that's what we're going to be dealing with today. What can I do to add to the things that I lose? If I'm going to lose pain, then I must apply joy. If I'm going to lose negativity, I must build up my faith. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing of the word of God. He said, how can you hear without a preacher? And how can a preacher accept if you send them? But I want to give some echoes. The Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is accepted. I'm feeling my health right now. Oh, yes, Hebrews said something, but I want to take you around the globe here in the Bible. And I want you to see that not only Paul said it in Hebrews, we make it known of other things, chains of events, chains of circumstances, chains of things that are causing me to down and not do what God wants me to do. I heard Peter, he picked it up in the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 1, verse 4, and he said, therefore being partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through love. But I want to digress for he said now, he said, the divine nature. The divine nature goes against my worldly nature. The divine nature of God goes against the equalization of myself. And when I'm right now, I am imbalanced due to the sin that's in my nature. But when I begin to apply God's divine nature, then I can get rid of that mishap and become balanced in God. You know what I have? I have a saying in Greater Enrichment. It says that preparation opportunity equals destiny. And the reason why we don't reach our destiny is because when the opportunity is presented to us, we're not prepared. But when I modified the equation last year by putting a three-fast rule to the law of preparation, and that is suffering, experience, and confidence. Because once I suffer a while through the things, I gain an understanding and experience. And once I go through my understanding and experiences, then I get confidence. Amen. How many know about the song? He said, amen. He said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now found. I was blind, but now I see. You know, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the beast for shore. I was very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the, well, I wish someone go with me, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. And from the waters he lifted me and saved my mind. Love lifted me. I gained an experience through the things that I went through. And my soul has to look back and wonder how I got over. I heard him say in his word that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Some of you have to go back in your mind where God has brought you from. Some of you were left for dead. Some of you are left by yourself. Some of you are left to be lonely. Some of you are left broke. But look what God did. He stimulated you, activated you, motivated you, got you back into yourself. And now you're sitting around now talking about what you used to do. But God delivered you from what you used to do. Lay aside those weights of negativity. Lay aside those weights of indecision. Lay aside those weights of what you can't do, because the Bible said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no sea deep enough. If Christ is with me and gives me the strength, he will allow me to do what I need to do. But let me just tell you the book of, amen, the book of Peter, 2 Peter chapter number 1 says, and he said, being partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruptions that in the world lust. But if I want to understand what the world of lust consist of, I have to go to 1 John, the first epistle of John, chapter number 2, verse 15 and 16, where it said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love of the Father is not in him. And all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And he said, this is not of God, but of the world. So if I'm putting on the divine nature of God, I have to note that there's influences out there, a chain of influences that are fluctuating on a daily, on a secondary basis. In other words, when I wake up in the morning, these lusts are in the land. When I go to school, when I go to work, when I brush my teeth, when I take a shower, these things come around me. Because Paul said, when I would do good, evil is always present. But God has given us the antidote to be able to take the things and lay them aside. He said, lay aside every weight. But how can I lay away those weights? I have to look unto men and women. The Bible said there were examples of the believers in words and deeds and conversation and purity and faith and charity. The Bible said, mark the perfect man and uphold the upright, for the end of that man's life is peace. When the Bible said we are helpers one to another, the Bible went on to say, if two or three touches on one thing on the earth, I'll be in the midst. One can chase 1,000, two can put 10,000 to the flight. In other words, I need you to survive. If I don't have you, I can still make it to heaven, but it'll be pretty, pretty hard to do so. Now, that's why we have to get together. That's why we got to formulate as one. Do you remember when the people, the children of the Lord that went in the upper room, the 120, the Bible says in Acts chapter number 2, he said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, he said they was in one place and on one accord, and suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the where they were sitting, and appeared to them holding of tongues as a fire. And the Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. But look what they did. They caused a commotion upstairs. The people downstairs were celebrating. All the Jews from all over the world were downstairs celebrating the Pentecost, meaning commemorating the death angel passing over Egypt and also Moses receiving the Ten Commandments. But when they heard the noise abroad upstairs, they went to investigate. They went up to investigate because they heard noises in their languages. They went on and said, how can these people be talking in our language? He said, are they not Galileans? They said, I know what's the problem. They said, these men are crazy. Why is it? Let me just digress for a moment. Why does it seem so crazy when people of God get together, but when people are going out to party or going out clubbing, that's okay. I understand. I understand the Bible said they would be calling evil good and good evil. But when God's people get together, things are going to happen. When I get next to a believer, when I get next to a worshiper, something's going to happen. When I got somebody that's going around in the same fire that I'm going through, amen, God will get into the midst of my fire and cause me not to be burned. If God, if I'm with believers, I can stretch out my rod of faith, amen, in the Red Sea of turmoil, in the Red Sea of troubles with the part. If I can just stand with people of God and worshipers, I can walk around my walls of Jericho. I can walk around my carnal state. I can walk around anything that's against me, and it will fall when I shout. And so that's what happened. The people downstairs, they went upstairs to investigate on the noise of the one accord of people. But Peter said, this is not, we are not drunk as ye suppose. We're not crazy as you think we are, seeing that it's the third hour, 9 a.m., third hour of the day. But this was spoken by the prophet Joel. He said, in the last days he will pour out his spirit among all flesh, and the sons and daughters shall prophesy, the old men shall dream dreams, and the young men shall see visions. So you see, first of all, in order for us to be overcomers, we got to get together. The homosexuals are getting together. The bisexuals are getting together. The drug addicts are getting together. Politics are getting together. The witches are getting together. All matter of evil is getting together. But it's time to get together to help lay aside the weights and the sins that do so easily beset us. And we have to run this race with patience. You can fall now. It's too late to fall. God's been doing too much for you. He's brought you through too many situations. He's done too many things for you. He's given you your name back. He's given you prestige of constituents. And now it's time to proclaim the name of Jesus. And sometimes you don't have to carry a Bible or wear T-shirts. All you have to do is let your light shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. But going back to 2 Peter, we say in the being partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, as we made mention of in 1 John chapter number 2, verses 15 and 16. But then he said in verse number 5 of 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 5, he says, he's giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, add to virtue knowledge, add to knowledge temperance, add to temperance patience, add to patience godliness, and brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. Look what he said between the verse 5 and verse 7. He said in verse number 7 now, he said, if you have these things and they abound, they stay with you. He said, you will be so that you will not be barren nor unfruitful and concerning in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But look what he said in verse number 8. He said, he that lacks these things that you added in verse number 5 to verse number 7. He said, if you lack these things, he said, you are blind and cannot see afar off, and you have forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. But look what he said in verse number 10 of that chapter. He said, if you do these things that you added, he said, you will never fall. So what we have to do, thanks to God and friends, we have to lay aside the weight and the sins, those things that just won't let go. You need to tell yourself, let me go. But you can't let you go when I'm just saying it. You got to demand it in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in and they are saved. The name of Jesus, he said, there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Whatever you do in word or in deed, you got to do it in the name of Jesus. When I wake up in the morning, Jesus. When I get up and go around the house, is Jesus. When I'm in my car going to work, is Jesus. When I'm going to school, is Jesus. When I'm around my friends, is Jesus. When I'm inside and out, Jesus. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noonday, Jesus in the midnight hour, Jesus when I'm sick, Jesus when I'm well, Jesus when I'm broke, Jesus when I got money, when I got my honey, and it's honey, Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus is the reason for the season, for laying down my burdens. Oh, yes, oh, yes. So we have to understand that we must add to our faith in order to get rid of those weights and the sins of shortcomings. But I want to take it a little further now. Since we're walking in the divine nature, we're walking in the Spirit. Do you know that? When we're walking in Christ, we're walking in the Spirit. Now, look what Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. He said, Therefore now there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk in after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, look what he said in verse number 2. He said, the law of the life in the Spirit of Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. He went on to verse 3, he said, what the law couldn't do is because it was weak in the flesh. He said, but seeing his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that we may manifest within us the righteousness of the law, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But look what he went on to say, another verse or two down. He said, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. He said, now the carnal mind is an enmity, or the state of being an enemy against God. He said it cannot be subject to God, neither indeed can be. So then the carnal mind cannot please God. But I want to let you know the carnal mind comes from my flesh, because Paul said of Galatians chapter number 5, verse 16, he says, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He went on to verse number 17 and said, now the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusts against the flesh, and these two are contrary to each other, that you will not be able to be what you should be. But look what he said in verse number 19. He went on to say, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. The first one was adultery, then fornication and uncleanness and such. Then he went on to 17 plus, he said, and such. So we have to understand that there's things that won't let you go, because there's something that you were born with. But amen, he said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Listen, you need God's Spirit in order to care of these aliens. You can't get this through schools. You can't get this through the Bible seminaries. You can't get this from analytical subjects. You must give Jesus your life. You must give him your soul. You must give him your mind. Look what the Lord said, though God said in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, verse 4 and 5. He said, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord with all your mind, all your soul, your total body, and all your might, your strength. In other words, in order for me to love God, I have to love me to give myself to God. And then we went on further in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3, verse 5. He went on to say, he said, amen, he said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And then Paul, as we said earlier, said in chapter number 12 of the book of Romans, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you'll be able to prove that which is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. But the problem is today we have opposing factors that's in our flesh. We have opposing factors that's all in the external world, and we have opposing factors in the ages. So I will go through that, and when I get through with this, we probably might be half finished. When I say it now, the opposing factors, laying aside every weight and sins, in other words, showing the mark of not hitting the mark. Digressing for a moment, you know what Paul said. He said, I'm not writing to you as I've already apprehended or arrived to where I am. And I'm writing to you because he said, this one thing that I do. He said, I'm forgetting those things that are behind me, and I'm looking for the things that are forward in front of me. He said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. In other words, I am not subject to my own demise, subject to my mind. My situations don't dictate who I am. In fact, I'm a child of God. So you need to tell yourself who you are. Can you do something for me right quick? People of God, I want you to take your right hand, and I want you to pull out your right hand, and I want you to have it flat open. Then I want you to turn it and put it over your shoulder, put it over your left shoulder, put your right hand over your left shoulder, and start going up and down on it. Sometimes you got to give yourself a pat on the back. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to raise your confidence level a little higher, because the Bible said this. He said, don't let your confidence be soon shaken, for it has great recompense of reward. Sometimes your confidence is your badge. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. There's no need to get down now. He said, hallelujah, we've been there and do it for a night. But don't worry, keep praising him. But joy in the morning. I heard someone say, when I think of his goodness and what he's done for me, when I think of his goodness and how he set me free, I can dance, Lord, dance, dance, dance all night. If I can dance all night, that means joy is coming in the morning. Did you understand? So we're going back now and talking about these opposing factors that happens consist of the weights and sins in our life. Now, I already mentioned before, but I'm just covering it again. One of the problems of the weights and the sins is in our nature. Yes, it's innate. Like I said before, in the book of Galatians, chapter number 5, verse 16 and 17, he said, walk in spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said, because the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to another. Amen. My soul say yes, but my flesh said no. Jesus said to my mind, go out, but amen, your horoscope said stay in. Yes, the prophet said leave outside, but amen, you got Lady Cleo on the other line. But leave Lady Cleo and hear the man or woman of God, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word of God. He said, how can you hear without a preacher, and how can a preacher except they be sent? So therefore, God got to send the preacher. The preacher got to preach the word. The hearer has to hear the word, then believe and receive it. Then they can call on the name of the Lord, and they will be saved. But the problem is today, the Bible says some the Spirit speak expressly, that some shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Paul went on to tell Timothy later on. He told him that, he said, thereunto, that's chapter number 3 of 2 Timothy. He said, thereunto, in the last days, a perilous time should come. And he said, amen, about 18 characteristics of weights that in my life. They should be unthankful, unholy. Amen. They should be truth breakers and blasphemers. But look what he said, number 5 of chapter number 3 of 2 Timothy. He said, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, from such turn away. But what's so devastating about that chapter? Is verse number 7. He said, ever learning, but never able to come into the knowledge of truth. I want to say that again. He said, ever learning, but never able to come into the knowledge of truth. Why can he never come into the knowledge of the truth? The reason why he or she cannot come into the knowledge of truth, because you got those weights from verse number 1 to verse number 6. If you get rid of those weights from verse number 1 to verse number 6 of chapter number 3 of 2 Timothy, then you can go on to perfection. But look what he said here now, going back to Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 16 and 17. He said, now walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. And these two are contradictory to one another, that you will not be what you should be. And then verse number 19, I tell you of the various weights and sins. And the Bible said all unrighteousness is sin. I still read that again. The Bible said all unrighteousness is sin. So if you're walking in your flesh, you're sinning against God. When you're backbiting against one another, you're sinning. Even the Bible said, even if you have respect of a person, the Bible says you're committing sin. Those are weights and sins that's making us miss the mark. But how many know? Jesus said, a new commandment I leave unto you, that ye love one another. I also loved you. He went on and said that, that this by this love, all men know that you are my disciples, because you have love one for another. And then look what love do. Hallelujah. The Lord is downloading in my head. See, this is what I want God to do. I want God to download his word in me, but I want the Holy Ghost to upload my experiences. So if God is downloading the word in me and the Holy Ghost is uploading my experiences, now I can talk because I begin to praise him through the word by my experiences. Amen. Someone said, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. But look what David said, and then I'll go back to the subject. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. This is David's testimony. He said, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He lead me in the path of righteousness. For his name. But look what he talked about here, a particular obstacle. He said, yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death. Now, some of you are not dead yet because you are walking in the shadow. Some of you don't have defeatism because only the shadow of defeatism can kill you. But that's because the reason why I didn't reach you, because God has the blood, God has the blood covering you. When God has an angel around you, it ain't nothing in the world. He said, if God be for you, who can be against you? And if God be for you, he said, he's more than the whole world against you. Just one God, amen, is going against the whole world against me. There's billions of people in the population, but a billion can be against me, but one God that for me can defeat the billions that's against me. But look what we said here. I'm a little ahead of myself as far as what's going on in our lives. So we understand then the number one factor that opposing us in God's weights and sins is in our members, my hands and my feet, but my mind, but also it's talking about the attributes that I perform in my flesh. Causes me to have weights and sins. Number two factor The first opposing factor is against in my flesh. It's an innate thing in my flesh. Number two is the external world. Look what he said here. We talk about the first Pauline letter. When I mention Pauline letters, I'm talking about letters that Paul wrote. And Paul wrote about 13 of his epistles. He said there, he made mention in the book of Galatians concerning us in our flesh. But now he said in the book of Ephesians, which is another Pauline letter. He said in chapter number 6, verse 10, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Why? He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. You wonder why your boss laid you off. He didn't lay you off because you wasn't doing your job. He laid you off because he was a no-good witch himself. He was, hallelujah, serving Satan, and he picked up your spirit. You was carrying around your Bible. You was speaking truth. You didn't have no pornographic material in your closet or in your little drawer. Every time he looked at you, you have your Bible, you have your cross, you're doing good. That condemned him and made him want to make you quit. But sometimes we blame ourselves for what the devil's doing. What you got to do, you got to let God handle what the devil do, and you can handle what you do. When it comes to the number one factor, we blame the devil and the church and the men and women of God for making me do it. The devil made me do it. No, factor number one, you did it because it's in your flesh. But God said, let the spirit walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill your flesh, and you can walk a little lighter. Number two is different. Sometimes we blame ourselves, our inadequacies. We say that we're no good. We say that we're not qualified. We're not this way. But it might be circumstances that are beyond your control, because the enemy is outside. Do you remember the time when Daniel, was praying to God for deliverance, for an answer? And the Bible said that when he prayed for 21 days, he prayed and fast. The Bible said that, his prayer was coming, but the enemy in the atmosphere held it back. God want to let you know today that some of your prayers is getting ready to be answered because you're believing it. The devil was trying to hold, but guess what? Christ is going to break through after a while. But don't leave the faith. Don't leave your calling. Don't leave who you are. Keep on witnessing your family after a while. Your ministry is going to go after a while, and it will be about money, but it will be about souls, because when you get souls, money is coming, and when you get the money, you're going to be sowing back into the seeds of others. So don't worry about the money. Hallelujah. Worry about the riches come your way. Let me just digress. This is what Paul said. He told Timothy in 2 Timothy, which is the last book that he written before he died, around about A.D. 67. He said, you know, Timothy, my son, I'm in bounds right now, and I know that my departure is at hand. I feel a little churchy now. But look what he said here. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course, and I kept the faith. He said, now henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And he said, not only for me only, son, but those that love his appearing. How many waiting for the Jesus to return? That's what he needs to worry about. Amen. Because the Bible said in the book of Thessalonians, he said, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive and remain. That's why we got to get rid of the weights. We got to get rid of the sins. He said, then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up with them that are dead in Christ and meet them in the clouds, and so shall we be with the Lord. Well, look what he said in verse number 18 of chapter number 4 of 1 Thessalonians. He said, comfort one another with words. Comfort yourself. Let me just digress for another moment. When you feel down and out, and you stop playing Mike Jackson, I Want to Rock with You, or Heartbreak Hotel. You need to make up some songs. You need to make up some spiritual songs. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 19, he said, and speak to yourselves in songs and hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody into your heart toward the Lord. And all giving thanks unto the Lord through our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you need to make a song, or if you can't make up a song, sing one of the songs that you've heard. Let me just give you an example of one of the songs you can sing. While you're down praying, you can say, I need the Lord. Every hour.
All right, Amanda, bring Marie on the plate.
Oh, bless me now, my Savior.
Yes.
I come to be. Then when you really start getting a spirit, you can really get into it. You begin to sing unto yourself. Your spirit begins to rise with confidence. You begin to rise with enthusiasm. You rise up of your life. And I just want to let you know it's okay to cry and it's okay to sing. Lift up your voice unto the Lord. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But teach me, Lord, I will wait on you. Give me a new heart. Give me a new song. Lord, God created me a clean heart. Oh, God, renew a right spirit. Take out envy. Take out strife. Take out malice. Take out victory. Take out addiction. Take out it. Oh, Lord, create me and loose the shackles off of my feet. Take the noose around my neck. Okay, so number one is the factor that's in me, my flesh, all the elements of my flesh, all the earthly stuff that's in my flesh, that's making me commit adultery, that's making me commit fornication, that's making me commit witchcraft and partying and rioting and such like. But then he said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spirits of wickedness in high places. There is an atmosphere, demonic forces that's going against the people of God. Just like I just talked about Daniel. Daniel, the angel came. Gabriel had a message. But Gabriel needed Michael to help him with the atmospheric hindrances. We're talking about weights in our atmospheres. We're talking about in the galaxy, there's sin all around us. But he said, when the angel went on and said, well, the Lord heard you when you first prayed. See, the Lord already heard your cry. But he said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say. See, he said he's just strengthening your heart. That doesn't mean that it's here, yet. He just want to get you to encourage. He said, be of good courage. He wants you to strengthen your mind. He wants you to sing spiritual songs and hymns. Until the victory comes into your mind. Because once the victory comes into my mind, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart flows the issues of life. As a man thinketh, he. And I say, as a woman thinketh, so is she. So you've got to think victory before you become victorious. You've got to think sanctified before I can live sanctified. I got to preach to me. Oh, I can preach to the world. I got to be overcome with my own situations in order for me to tell someone else to overcome. I got to do it first, honey. I got to be a guinea pig to my own self. I got to taste my own things. I got to know what it's like to fail to be able to be victorious. I got to know what it's like to be sad so I can be happy. I got to know what it's like to be sinful in order for me to be victorious. Honey, the weights are there, but God has given you power to overcome the defeatism in your mind. Going back.
Jesus!
Going back to number two. So there's an atmospheric hindrance. The atmosphere, the galaxies, the winds blowing, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the tsunamis, all those are elements of the world. But there's spiritual dictatorship that's going on. Because Satan is the prince of power of the air, the god of this world. Everything he brings forth, he hinders, God tries to bless. When you're trying to pray, the enemy begins to put things that scare you in their mind. But the Lord, look at the Lord says, the Bible says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Oh, Lord. But he's given us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and of a sound mind.
Oh, my.
God did not give us some of these things that we're putting on ourselves. Amen. When you're fearing in this way, you're in your flesh. When you're scared to walk out and witness for the Lord, you're in your flesh. When you begin to murmur and complain, I'm talking to myself. When you begin to murmur and complain, you're not in the spirit, you're in the flesh. And if I'm in the flesh, I got weight on me. Some of you are weighting down yourself, not with cupcakes, not with pudding, and not with all that stuff. Some of you are weighting yourself down without reading the word, without prayer, without fasting, without supplication, without talking to God more. Some of you are spiritually deficient. Some of you are in the midst of spiritual starvation. And God said you have to add to your spiritual body if you want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So number two is atmospheric bombardments. Satan and his demons are going against the people of God. That's why the Bible said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
Wax cold.
Said, if I don't shorten the days, he said, if I don't shorten the days, no flesh shall be saved. He said, but
glory.
He said, I'll shorten the days. Honey, Jesus is on his way. Just keep on keeping on. Don't worry. There's going to be a great big meeting in the promised land. But then number three now, we saw that number one is hindrances within us. Now, number two is there's hindrance outside of us. But now, number three, getting close to closing, we're dealing with now the bombarding of the ages. The ages. You said what? The Bible said, as it were in the days of Solomon and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And then we're dealing with the age of this time. So we got three demonic spirits. The people died in those days. The people died in Noah's days. The people died in Solomon's days. But the spirit still remained. The age of the spirit of that time still remained. Because spirits don't die. So now our age is already crazy. But now the additives of the age of Noah, where God said, "I repented me that I remade man," and then the Sodom and Gomorrah with the perversion and all that stuff, wickedness going on, that's another addition. And then our times, the Bible says, some shall depart from the faith in the last days and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In the last days, perilous times shall come. So now we're bombarded by the times, the ages of past times, the ancients. Then we're dealing with the atmosphere, and then we're dealing with our own bodies. But then we have another problem. The Bible says that our heart is deceitful. All things deathly wicked. Who can? My mind is telling me I'm okay. My mind is telling me something I can't do well. My mind is against me. My mind is sinful. My mind is deceitful. My mind says that I don't look good, but I do. And then your mind makes you, when you don't look good, it says you do. So I got to get my mind. Look what he said here. Paul said, be ye renewed in the spirit of my mind. My mind is dictated by my attitude. My attitude is my firm, something I firmly believe in, that I manifest in every situation and circumstances in life, whether it be public or private. Worship is dictated by my attitude. My outlook on life is based on my attitude. The way I look at people is how my attitude is perceived. But God said, trust in me with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Don't lean to my brain. My brain is what makes me insane, and I have to explain things that are not so well. God is trying to regulate my mind to regulate my flesh that I can do it. Because why? Flesh is warring against the spirit of lust. But my mind is the receptor of that. Now, I want to share something with you here. God just took me here now. You may not believe this or not. But the Bible said that man formed, that God formed the man from the dust of the ground. And he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul or a human being. But there's one organ that's in man that God activated that we need so badly. I asked the person that they went to every facet of the person's being except one element they didn't make mention, and that is the brain. Do you not know that if you have any type of element in your body, that you can have apparatus connected to you to help you to breathe? If you got lung problems, they got apparatus to help you. To keep your blood flowing, they got machinery that can help you. But guess what? If you're in a hospital and you be considered brain dead, no wave patterns in your brain, you are absolutely dead. Most times when people have massive strokes or some type of injury to the head and they don't have brain waves going on a certain amount of days, they unplug you and you're dead. God used that mechanism of the brain. When he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul, he activated the brain. And that brain is the very tool that God uses to get to us. He said, now I'm going to go back to the Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, verse 4 and 5. He said, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord with all thine heart. That's your mind. That's your brain. Love you with all your heart. Your brain. Love you with all your soul, your whole body, and love you with all your might. But look what he said in Proverbs chapter number 3, verse 5. He said, trust in me with all your heart, your brain, and lean not to your own understanding that comes from your brain. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he should direct your path. Then he said, then Paul said in Romans, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your brain, that you can think straight. You can think of the things that's good except for the perfect word of God. Paul said that, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? He said, I thank God for our Lord Jesus Christ that with the mind, with my brain, I myself serve the law of God, and with my flesh, the law of sin. The Bible said, if you regard the iniquity of the brain, God will hear you. What are you saying? Your brain receives two messages. One of God, holla, comes from the flesh. And if you walk in the spirit, your mind will conduct holy living. However, in contrast, if your mind receptors your flesh, you're going to do the fleshly things because it's sinful. So your mind is dictated by the influential way in which you decide. You have to decide, I want God and God only. Choose thee this day who you're going to serve. Is he God or be mammon? Or choose life. He said there's life, there's death, there's blessing, there's cursing. He said choose life that your offspring may live. Thanks to God and friends as I'm coming to my close. We had such a great cloud of witnesses in chapter number 12. Deriving from chapter number 11 of Hebrews. He said, seeing that we're passed, so packed and passed about with great cloud of witnesses, he said, now you got examples in front of you. You can live this thing. You can do this thing. You can act this thing. You can speak this thing. Because they did it. The Bible says we are built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles of Jesus Christ being Jesus on his own. In other words, what the prophets and the apostles did and Jesus Christ did, we can do it too. He said, so therefore lay aside. Let yourself melt away those things that are weighing you down and every sin or every characteristic of missing the mark that those so easily keep up with you. They won't let you go. He said, but then look out to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He endured the cross. He endured suffering, but he didn't fail. He said he was tempted in all points like as is ye, but yet without sin. He didn't yield. Therefore, he can feel the feelings of our infirmities. He was made our high priest, and he makes an intercession for us every day because the devil accuses us every day. Faith of God, we must understand that the thing that's holding us back is the devil. The thing that's holding us back is me within myself. It's the atmospheric pressures of the fantastic world and the ages of past times and this day and time. They all three are bombarding us. They got us in a corner. They're trying to carve us. They're trying to scratch us. They're trying to mutilate us. But we got power. Oh, Lord, we got power. The Bible says you should receive Holy Ghost. You should receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you should be witnesses of me. God has given us the power to overcome the weights and the sin. He's given us a lift. He has given us a shift. Some of you, he's shifting our paradigms. He's shifting the way we thought things should be and making us become a believer. Saints, this was a word from God. Saints, God is speaking to us. He's trying to let you know you're doing a good thing, but don't stop doing what you're doing. Don't stop praising him. Use your musical talents to persuade the world of God's goodness. Holla. Don't be afraid to preach. Everybody's a preacher. But now start saying, Lord, activate my gift. Oh, Lord, activate the thing that you called me to do. We're all preaching. But, Lord, I want to utilize the gift. I want to utilize the specialty that you've given me, that capability to be able to go against demonic forces, that I can loose people from bondage, that I can set them free, that I can cause people that's in alienation, stagnation, separation, and bring them into harmony, bring them into inclusion. The Bible said love, the bond of perfectness or perfect harmony. Saints of God and friends, it's time to become cape crusaders of sin, from sin. If you got kryptonite, get rid of it. If you got other weaknesses that cause you not to rise up in your supernatural state, get rid of it. Because why? Those sins and those weights are the very thing that's holding back your ministry. It's causing you not to have gratitude in your attitude for God. It's time for you to step out now and to say, I can do whatever I want to do when Christ gives me the power to do so. I want to share something with you that my father told me. He said, son, he said, if you get a chance, listen to this. Oh, I said, okay, Dad. He said, son, the key to success is, he said, know who you are. I repeat, he said, know who you are. And then he said, then feel good about who you are. Now, I heard those two elements, but really what really captivated my mind to this day, he said, son, if you do those two things and do it well, he said, you will be able to do everything. Now, I'm happy that he said everything, because when he said, if you would have said anything, then I'm limited. But if I know who I am, if I know I'm a child of God, and I feel comfortable of who I am, no matter who goes against me, and I feel, they call me a nut for Christ, okay, they call me a faggot for Christ, they call me queer, I don't care. If I'm for Christ, so be it. And feel good about it, I can do whatever I put my mind to do. If I want a church, I'll get it. If I want a ministry, I can do it. If I want to be victorious, I can do it. If I want to go against defeatism and be victorious, I can do it. Saints of God, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Therefore, we can lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us. Thank you. God bless. In Jesus' name.
Lord have mercy. Dr. Singleton. Hey. I tell him when you go on one, you go on one. When your help come, it's over. Ooh, Lord, I heard you say I feel my help. And I felt it coming. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes.
You have really preached. It's been a preacherama, I see. You have broken down this thing. We're talking about laying aside every weight, honey. A fool should not err. And what you have said to us on today, so you even got into the other part that we hadn't dealt with this week, and that was the sin part. It said lay aside every weight. And the sin, didn't deal with the sin, but you dealt with the sin elements today, and I tell you, my God, woo! Ain't nothing else I can say. God bless the Holy Ghost have spoken on today. So, hey, if you miss any of these, any of the scriptures that he's given you today, and if you miss any of this message, you need to go into the archives and listen to this word again. We're talking about laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. My God, my God. Woo, glory. I'm going to open up the lines now for any questions or comments that the audience may have for the man of God today, Dr. Singleton. Woo, ain't nothing else I can say. God bless you. I'm going to Minister Maurice, and then the Evangelist Cummings. God bless you. I see Prophetess Barbara on the line, too. God bless you, Minister Maurice.
Wow. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What a word. Oh, my God. I'm just so excited. Thank God for the archives, because I'm sure going back there and pull me some notes. Thank you so much, Dr. Singleton. My God. I'm just been scratching my head, had an appointment. I had to cancel that. I said, I can't miss this one. I cannot miss this. What a great word from God. My God. Oh, my God, as it flows. And the only thing I'm saying is because we are kin by blood. We're kin by blood. And I said, Lord, if my great-grandmother, Mama Joan, could just see us now and the works that we are doing for Jesus Christ, my God, man of God, thank you so much. It's been a blessing. You have lit me on fire. I'm going to let the other callers go while I shout a while, but I ain't going nowhere because I got to hear what they got to say, too, because I'm still chopping. So I'm going to have to come back on the line. And I ain't going nowhere. I still want to hear the rest of the show. So, Evangelist, go to the other callers while I shout. I'm going to shout. I'll shout by myself. I don't need nobody to shout with me. So go ahead and get them other callers while I shout.
Love you, Kevin. Love you.
Ooh, Jesus, and you begin to sing, I need thee, and I open up Maurice's line, and he start playing. Oh, God. Y'all got to get together. My God, my God. Woo, Evangelist Cummings. Lord, I thank you.
Lord.
Jesus.
Lord, yes.
Banjo's coming. Lord have mercy. I don't know if she had my phone on mute. Amen, amen. I see Prophetess Teal on the line. Let me go to her. God bless you, Prophetess Barbara.
God bless you too, my sister. I could make it when Pastor Singleton started his message, but I just got the tail end of it, but it sounded good to me. It sounded good to me. God has really given him some revelation to share with us. From what I've heard, it was really, really good. So I'm going to go into the archives, I'm going to pull it up, and I'm going to listen to it.
Because
I'm like the person that said that he's going to shout right by himself. Well, I want to shout, too, because I'm looking forward to hearing more revelation of the Lord, you know, for those that he stand before his people to teach the truth. And so I don't have much to say. I just want to let you know that I did tune in, but I will be tuning in tomorrow, and I will be back on the line soon. So
amen,
you take care.
Amen.
Pastor,
well,
Sister Bernard,
God.
I love you. And things are going good here, so I praise God and I give him all the glory. I'll talk to you later.
Amen.
And
that's my sister.
And everybody
Lord,
out there,
be Connecticut. Had Elder Gloria Brown with us yesterday, Prophetess Barbara. So she's going to be ministering for us next Thursday. So Prophetess Barbara to that woman of God in Connecticut.
And there will be some other women of God in this city. Should be contacting you. And I thank God for your broadcast, and he's doing great things in that anointing that he has given unto you.
Thank you.
So I'm going to get off the line, and I want to say to everybody, May God bless you and keep you and stay steadfast in the word. Let him use you because we're in the last days. And we need to hear the truth. And we need to get some revelation by just being faithful and walking by faith and believing. And let God raise us up. Because we sure can't raise ourselves. We can't do nothing without him. So whatever call is on your life, you let God be God in you and let him raise you up. And he would open up the windows in righteousness for you.
Good.
That he will give you a blessing that you cannot contain. But it has to be by faith and believing that the call on your life, he's in control of it.
Hallelujah.
That's all I have to say. God bless you all. I love you, even though I have not met you, but I just have the love of God. Thank you, and I'll talk to you soon, Bernard.
Amen. Thank you, Prophetess Barbara. We have Evangelist coming.
I was going in and out. But anyway, I just want to say awesome anointing. So if it goes out, awesome anointing. Dr. Winston Singleton Jr. is just awesome. And I just thank God for him. I enjoy him every time he preach, teach, whatever. The word of God, he puts you in the place. First he puts you in the place to let you know what was going on, who was doing it, what time it was, why they were doing it.
Yes.
Then that puts you in the place that you can receive. I just thank the Lord for you. Thank the Lord for you, Evangelist Adrian Bernard. And God just bless you all. Just awesome anointing. That's what I can say. It was just wonderful. And God bless you all those that are on the air. God bless you all.
Amen. We're going to Sister Patrice and then Sister T, and I see Sister Cammie is on the line also. God bless you, Evangelist Cummins. Sister Patrice, God bless you.
Oh, God bless. Oh, Evangelist, I just want to say I just so appreciate this broadcast. Because the men and women that you brought on here have really been allowing God to use them. And Dr. Singleton, you use him well today. Patrice got something out of this. You know, the understanding that I have now, you know, of God's word. And because of men and women like you, or men like you that God has used, oh, my God, he's been understanding his life. And you have been a part of me having life more. God used you so that, my understanding is great. And I just love you for being obedient. Oh, Evangelist, oh, my God. I love you all. You all be blessed. You be blessed. Woo, Dr. Singleton, God bless you. Ah.
Thank you. Thank you.
God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sister Patrice is a psalmist and a songwriter, too. So have you and Winnie and her to collaborate a song for us and close us on out of here. But before, let's go to Sister T and Sister Cammie, and some of the others have dropped off the line. So, Sister T, God bless you.
God bless you, Evangelist. It's truly been a blessing to be on the line today. This is not my first time hearing Dr. Singleton, and I got a lot out of the message. It's been truly a blessing for me, and I just thank God to be a part of this ministry, and I just love you all. God bless.
Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Sister Cammie, God bless you.
Yes. God bless you, Dr. Singleton and Evangelist Bernard.
Thank
you. Where are
you?
You met at the church, Dr. Singleton, when I was there in L.A. a couple of weeks ago. Sister Cammie is one of them.
Oh, yeah, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, I enjoyed you again. I, too, got a lot out of the word, and I feel so refreshing. I was feeling a little down in the spirit early, but I got lifted right back up, so God is good.
Removing the weights. Ah, Lord.
Moving the weight.
Yeah. Amen. So thank you for that. I really do appreciate it. That was very powerful. Very powerful.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, we're going to go to Mama Ruby. She loved Dr. Singleton.
The Lord, Dr. Singleton, each and every saint.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. We're so happy. I was so happy to hear you coming on. I thought you were coming on Tuesday, but the vibes were not. I said, oh, no, Thursday. Well, fine. I was just waiting, anticipating the word that the Lord would give you. It's just such a blessing to be such a young and saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and allow the Holy Spirit to direct and guide you, because you said, I got my help now. So I say, Lord, I thank you. Jesus Christ so much for you, Dr. Singleton, is that he has not only given you the word, the 66 books of the Bible, but he has placed his heart in your heart like David. You know why he loved and how he anoints you and how he instructs for his people. I've been so blessed. You know, all week long, we ain't heard nothing about no sin. So I looked at Evangelist Bernard, and she said, Dr. Singleton again. I thought, I don't worry. I'm going to get it all. I'm going to get all these things. I thank you about that sin. So you're just a blessing. We love you, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Much higher, because you have beautiful spirit, anointing that's from above, not from beneath, not on this earth, but from above. Hey, boss, and I just thank you for you. Pray my strength in the Lord. There you go.
Amen.
So
amen. He talked about that. I knew he wouldn't leave a stone uncovered. I tell you. So we're going to, it's been a joy. I'm going to have Minister Maurice and Dr. Singleton and even Sister Patrice and Sister T, they all sing. So maybe you all can sing us a little song. We're going to go to Dr. Singleton for his final remarks, and maybe he has something special we want to just collaborate with Minister Maurice, and he can play us on off the air. God bless you. Dr. Singleton, back in your hand.
Praise Lord. I think I've said enough already. It's just been such a joy. I was really surprised at the stamina that God gave. I went straight. I mean, I don't know how long I spoke, but I really didn't have too many breaks or anything, so I knew it was of the Lord. And that's what the Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we can rely, I'm talking to myself too when I'm saying this, if we can rely on the Lord more, then we can do things that we would think is impossible. Because with God, nothing's impossible. But the problem is sometimes we get into our mindset of limitation. That's the weight. So let us start thinking more positive about ourselves. Even though we can't do it, at least try to attempt to do it. And like I said, don't knock something you haven't tried. Try it first. And if you fail at it, then you can knock it. But before that, just say, let me try to climb this mountain today. And if I can climb it, then okay, I'll do it again. I'll do it another time until I feel like I can go to a higher mountain. And if we can do that, then God can entrust us with what he wants us to do. So I'm thankful that you all received me in terms of allowing, to hear me. Thank the Lord for all my family members, people that come from far and near, that have seen and unseen. Just keep me in your prayers that the Lord, because as my mother say, higher level, higher devil, or higher opposition.
Mm.
How are you going to go? The devil's going to meet you where you are. He's meeting you where you are now, so you might as well just try to move up. Because he's still on the ground, he's going to get, they got a ground devil, a ground zero devil. So he's got to go four flights up, they got four flight devils. So don't worry about the devil attack. He's going to attack you on every side. But the Bible says this. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet in distress. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. So I'm through. Thank you very much. And I will be on sometime other times when I'm invited. I'm a part of this wonderful ministry. And just continue to pray for Evangelist Bernard, that the Lord would keep her with the mental and spiritual stamina to keep this, because without a vision, the people perish. And I think New Destiny is taking us to higher heights and deeper depths. So pray for it. Thank you.
Amen, amen. We thank God for you. We're going to ask Minister Maurice to let us on out. Tomorrow is Provoked Fridays, and I tell you, wonderful man of God, Pastor Edward Hamilton of Houston, Texas, he comes on, Dr. Singleton, on Fridays, and that's our Provoked Fridays, and we thank God for him. So tune in tomorrow for the program on tomorrow with Pastor Edward Hamilton. And again, we just want to thank those of you that fasted with us on yesterday. Remember that fast day, Tuesday, midnight, 4 o'clock Wednesday. We appreciate you here with us. God bless you all. Sister Maurice, God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Again, thank you so much, Dr. Singleton. I love you, man. God bless you. God bless you. Y'all thought I was playing, but I'm still hot. I'm still hot at that word. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Hallelujah.
God. I love you today.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God. I love you today.
Oh, yes, God.
Hallelujah, God. Thank you,
yes,
Jesus.
God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, to your will. Yes, to your will. Yes, to your will.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, to your way. Yes, to your way. Yes, to your way.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, I'll obey. Yes, I'll obey. Yes, I'll obey. Yes, I'll obey.
Yes,
God. Yes, because you're worthy.
through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain, some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, there's no place here for her kind. Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said to her, as she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster, died to pour my praise on him, like oil from Mary. If I wash his feet with my tears, and I dry them with my hair, you weren't there the night it found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his love all around me, and you don't know the of the oil in my alabaster bottle. I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. Poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found, until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. And I come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster vial. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them.